Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just thought it was one of the most incredibly, uniquely American things I have ever seen in my life, And look, I've seen a lot of stuff here, ladies and gentlemen, over the years. But my goodness, the UFC Freedom 250 fight night at the White House last night was remarkable. And I was planning to sort of dip in and out of the coverage. But let me tell you something. It was so riveting, and I could not step away from my beautiful LG flat screen TV. I could not do that last night. And I watched every single fight. I watched every single interview they did afterwards. The music was incredible. And I'm just curious your reaction to what happened, because there's been a lot of blowback as a result of the event itself. There are a lot of very angry liberals out there who, for some reason, hated every single thing they saw last night. And I have a theory about all of this, and I will share that with you in just a few moments. But wow, what an amazing moment for America. I thought it was off the charts. And you know, a lot of people, I think, even there was somebody over at CNN. And even they were shocked at just the spectacle of it all and the fact that there was no politics. Well, there was a little bit of politics, but it wasn't from Trump. Trump and the first lady, a man, Melania, looked like she was having a great time. She got a fist bump from one of the fighters. And there was a lot to celebrate last night. And if you were not watching, it was on Paramount Plus. If you were not, let me just say this. CBS missed an opportunity to really just connect with the American people last night. They should have broadcast that thing live on CBS. I guarantee you the ratings would have been off the charts. It was just a beautiful moment. So you had the Zach, what is it? Oh, geez, Alou, Zach Brown. Is that who it was? The country music singer. He was out there and, you had all of these, the walk up music, Dylan, when the fighters have their own tunes and everything. And it took me a second to realize this, but it was the Marine Corps band. They were playing all of the walkout music live.
That's like the coolest thing ever.
It was really incredible. And I say that because there was a lot of music. The singing was just phenomenal last night. And the president ought to be very happy. He should be very happy. Pardon me. But I'm curious if you had a chance to watch it. Any problems? Did you see anything that was, that caused you to, I don't know, pucker up a little bit? For me, it was like proud to be an American. And I know there are a lot of folks out there that are really upset today over what they saw and what happened last night. And I don't get it. I really do not get it. Now, I will say this: one of the more interesting unscripted moments came from Josh Hokit, the MMA fighter. Take a listen to what he had to say during his remarks.
And lastly, Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
She's a man. That's well, people. How dare he? Who does he think he is to sully this very important moment? Who does he think he is? Okay, it was a UFC fight. And so now you've got one of Fox's big writers over on their website. He got all puckered up about it. He's demanding the White House should come out with an immediate statement and condemnation. The president should have gotten into the squared circle, the octagon, and condemned the fighter. It was a fight. All right? It was a fight. I'm just telling. People are really upset about this. But I want to explain why, because there is a reason why. And by the way, welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy Monday to you. And we would love to hear from you if you had a chance to watch last night, your takeaways, because I have a lot of takeaways. This was one of the most patriotic things I've ever seen in my life. The videos that were celebrating America and who we are. And I mean, you even had at one point, you actually had Barack Obama was one of the ads, at least his voice was. I mean, it was not a Republican. It was not a Trump-centric event. This was just about America. And by the way, the crowds were insane. So, Dylan, they had like 5,000 people in the claw. That's what they called the big thing. That's the claw. And
it did look like a claw.
It did. It looked like one of those things. Have you ever been to like the Chuck E. Cheese back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
And you've got the big machine and they got the toys.
Yeah.
And the claw. That's what it reminds me of.
It's literally the arms of the claw. Yeah.
Exactly. So on the ellipse, which is right to the it's to the south of the South Lawn, the ellipse, they say there were about 85,000 people there. I would say it looked to be about 100,000 people, and they're all men. I mean, men, fathers and their sons, young guys, a lot of military personnel. It was sort of like, I don't know, a huge Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that adds up for the UFC, actually.
It was dudes. That was a dude-centric event. And the women were gorgeous. You know, there was a lot of controversy over the Octagon girls. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But they were lovely and just gorgeous, and they did their jobs quite well, and they blew kisses to the camera. And you know what? You know what I saw last night, Dylan? I saw a world watching this with envy because they know that their fighters are not as strong as American fighters. They know that their women are not as beautiful as American women, and they know that their country is not as freaking cool as the United States of America. That's what we did last night. Now you've got all these beta males, the little soy boys, and they're just butt hurt, ladies and gentlemen. That is a clinical medical term. I'm not throwing dispersions here. It's a medical issue. They are butt hurt. And they're upset because they feel like President Trump sullied the Oval Office last night. And I just do not see it like that. Instead, they wanted a like poetry slam or a ballet recital. So David Brooks and Jonathan Capehart were on PBS. And here's what they had to say about the event yesterday. Cut one, please.
What do you make of this?
I first thought of, like, who are the artists John F. Kennedy brought to the White House? It was like W. H. Auden, Robert Frost, Jerome Robbins, Leonard Bernstein, and now we've got cage fighting. Don't anybody say America's in cultural decline. So I just thought.
Well, look, I mean, yeah, to your point, presidents have traditionally sought validation from established cultural institutions and artists. As I'm saying this, I'm looking at what people have called the claw on the South Lawn. President Trump has created this alternative cultural establishment around combat sports and podcasts and influencers and social media stars. How significant is that shift, and what does it suggest?
Well, it's a significant shift because it's the president of the United States who's anointing it. Whenever a president invites someone from the culture into the White House, it's giving the imprimatur of the president. You know, excuse me, President Obama brought in Lin-Manuel to do what then became Hamilton. So there, you know, you're talking about Auden, and now you got Lim. I cannot remember
his name. Miranda,
because yeah. I'm so close to calling him Noriega. And I know that is not right. But this cage fight on the south lawn of the White House, the People's House, that also has corporate sponsorship that you can see inside the ring. This, talk about degrading the culture. This is degrading the White House, degrading the People's House. And it's just unconscionable that this is happening.
Part of me thinks, though, that there were people who said that about Obama when he had, you know, rappers in the East Room, right? I mean, it's just, are we just in a different time, a different...
He wants us to be talking this way, because he's saying, look, you get looked down upon by people. I believe in cage fighting just like you.
And lastly, Michelle Obama is a man.
So, look here, I don't recall this guy, David Brooks or Capehart, I don't recall these guys being offended when Joe Biden literally invited topless transgender activists to frolic about on the White House lawn. Or what about when they had KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, actually invited the entire cast of RuPaul, the drag queen people, were given a platform right there in the White House press briefing room. I don't remember that. So now Bill Kristol, remember that guy, the never-Trumper, writing in the Bulwark today, we can reject Trump's orgy of decline. The UFC event captures something about this moment in our history. After all, it's vulgar. It's violent. It's commercial. It's grandiose. It's tacky. And it dishonors a place once thought worthy of care and respect. In other words, it's Donald Trump. This guy's a piece of work here. And again, where was Bill Kristol complaining when there were butt-naked transgender activists rolling around on the south lawn of the White House? I'm just asking a question here. I'm just asking. Seriously, folks. Now, here's what's really going on. UFC is one of the, and Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but UFC is one of the most popular sports in the nation when it comes to young, red-blooded American men.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I saw out there.
It's very, men across the United States and everywhere else love it, especially young guys like me.
And I don't want to, and I'm not disparaging anybody in the gay community at all here, but society would have you believe that every single man in America is gay. That's what they want you to believe, and that's just not the case. It's a very, actually, small percentage, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that overwhelmingly, most men, and Dylan, you're married, you're straight. I would say that you probably, as a man, would not want to go to a poetry slam or a ballet.
No, not at all.
And I think you would speak for the majority of guys, dudes in America.
I think guys like to see people hit stuff. Like, that's why we love football, and that's why we love UFC.
And that's the rub. Because what happened in D.C., it exposes that narrative for what it really is, a load of hooey. I mean, it really does. You had something amazing happen in Washington, D.C. You got to see the real America, right? You got to see regular Joes. You got to see guys, working class guys, bringing their sons to the nation's capital for a great night of celebration and being around other guys. You had the muscular fighters. You had the beautiful octagon girls that were all women. They didn't have you-know-whats jiggling around down there. You know what I'm talking about. They were women, and they were blowing kisses to America's men. I guess they could have been. Yeah, I guess they could have been blowing kisses to women. But no, I'm just telling you, men. Ladies and gentlemen, last night, gender order in America was restored. And that is why the elitists are going bonkers right now. You know what? And here's the reason why. Because people like David Brooks and Bill Kristol and CNN and PMS Now, they would have rather the White House hosted, I don't know, an emotional support group for men, get in touch with your feelings, hug, weep, and then, I don't know, gather around the piano for a rowdy night of singing Broadway show tunes. Jazz hands, boys! Jazz hands! But that's not who we are, and there's nothing wrong with jazz hands. There's nothing wrong with Broadway. I'm just telling you, that what happened was the left's fake narrative got exposed last night. That's what really happened. I have got so much more to say about this. This is what happened yesterday was a great thing for not just America, but for the world. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty, and if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow. But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. What did you think about last night's big event in D.C.? 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Tracy in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Tracy, it's been a long time.
Oh, no. It's not really Memphis, Tennessee. It's on the outskirts of Memphis. Let's get that correct.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Tracy, how are you doing?
Just fine. Just fine. I called from a different number. I have a different number, but kind of probably threw you guys off. But it's so good to hear you.
Well, likewise.
Yeah, good to hear you.
Tracy, what's on your mind today?
Oh, shoot. Work. Unfortunately, work. Work, that's about it. And just listening to you guys, and I thought about Ben. I know he's still out and everything. Is he going to ever move back?
Well, we love Ben Dieter, and he is crushing it on Capitol Hill right now as a comms director for a congressman. He just got promoted to a new congressman, so he's doing quite well. But we're trying to get... We're trying to kidnap him and bring him back, though, Tracy.
Yeah, bring him on back. Bring him back. Tell him to get back here.
We will.
But it's nice hearing you. It's so nice. So nice to hear you. I love your voice and everything. And guess what? I knew this number by heart. It's like it's embedded in my forehead.
That's the way we like it. It's like the mark of the beast, only better, Tracy. All right,
Tracy. Okay. All right.
Tracy, so good to hear from you, and thank you for calling. And again, folks, we love this show for all of our new listeners. It's really sort of a great big giant front porch, and you never know who's going to drop by, who's going to pop in and say hello, and we just love it like that. You know, I want to go back to what happened yesterday in Washington, and there was some alternative programming going on. And Dylan, if we could play, this was they had a bunch of liberals, Robert De Niro, Joyless Brown. All of these folks were gathered in a small theater, and they actually did a musical performance. Cut number six, please.
Are you fascist bound to lose? You're bound to lose. You're fascist bound to lose. Let me put you straight. When you come for the rest of us, we'll fight you at the gate, and you will lose. You fascist bound to lose.
Is that? It's kind of like, it was that hee-haw gone woke.
You know what's surprising about that audio? That's one of the better performances.
It's one of we have some more. It's too early in the lunch hour. We just can't. We can't do that to our beloved audience. We just can't. You know, it's bad enough that you're a liberal, but really, you're also tone deaf. I mean, the irony there is just beyond me. But yeah, they were banging their bongos the whole nine yards. We have some more audio from that. That's what happens when you start growing kale chips on Hee Haw. That's what happens. Nobody wants to hear that. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Jeez, Lou, we'll be right back.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No one is getting left behind this time. No one is getting left behind. Not this time. No one is getting left behind this time.
How do we get there?
Together or never get there at all.
Okay, wow, my apologies, Dylan. That's just terrible.
It's a little pitchy.
I mean, a little pitch. There is no pitch there.
No, none, actually.
I was hoping somebody would just bang their bongos louder to drown them out.
I mean, something. Some sort of rhythm. Just stop singing.
There was no rhythm. I don't know what that was. Well, I can tell you that they're going to have to work on their musical ability if they've got any shot of appearing on Great American Media. You know, they're doing the America Sings the Anthem. And I'm not sure they would make the cut. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend Bill Abbott, who is the chief executive officer at one of my favorite TV channels, Great American Media. Bill, I don't want to judge, but I think they may need to work on their musicality just a smidge.
Just a little bit, Todd. Great to see you. Always great to be with you.
You know, Bill, before we jump into the America Sings the Anthem, what a night last night in our nation's capital. And I'll tell you, these America 250 celebrations are just off the chart. They keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not surprised given how good the administration is just in general. And they're so buttoned up across the board. And, you know, I think that, as usual, the elitists and the liberal media go out of their way to make it seem quite the contrary, that they're prepared and that they're buttoned up, but they are really doing a great job. And those who aren't participating, that's their loss.
Well, it is. And it, again, I think it exposes also, especially last night, this narrative that America's men are, you know, soy boys or a little squishy. What we saw last night were just tens of thousands of dads bringing their sons, college guys showing up with their buddies. You had the military on display. I mean, it was truly an American moment, and I just love the message that it was sending to the rest of the world that America is back and we're having a good time.
And a Christian nation.
Yes.
And, you know, it's certainly not lost on so many of us that the glory was given to God for so much of it. And that's our roots, and that's what we're all about.
You know, Bill, when you look at some of the reaction, I know there had been a dust-up over some of the musical performers who had invited to participate and sing at the Great American State Fair. We had Lee Greenwood on the show last week, and Lee said that he was just really disappointed that these artists are putting politics ahead of patriotism, and that ultimately this is not about a president. This is about celebrating this great experiment that we call America. What do you say about that?
I think, Todd, it's exposing the people who fundamentally don't like our country and who don't like our way of government, who don't want us to be exceptional or don't believe we're exceptional. And it's really so unfortunate that such a celebratory event and historic moment in the country's history would be in any way politicized. But that's typical of the left. You know, they'll politicize anything, anytime, anywhere.
I have to imagine when you heard about just the plans, and thank God President Trump got elected, I can't imagine what these celebrations would look like if Kamala Harris had been elected president. But I have to imagine, as the CEO of Great American Media, you knew that you guys were, this was like your jam. It's like, this is your Super Bowl.
It certainly is. And a couple of things on that. One is, we're here, though, in the case of someone like President Trump not being in office, I think sometimes it's even more important for us to be here and to be just absolutely relentlessly positive about faith, family, and freedom in our country. And we will always, we will never waver, we will never yield, we will never give in to those who will, whatever pressure they put on us, it will not matter.
Bill, I want to talk about this very cool idea that you guys came up with, America Sings the Anthem. Tell us about that and how our great listeners can participate.
So this is something that has been wildly successful for us. And it's great to see so many people sending in clips of themselves singing the anthem and feeling so proud about the country and wanting to show their talent and wanting to show their enthusiasm for singing the Star-Spangled Banner, which, you know, is what our country has used in so many ways over the years to celebrate who we are and what we are and what we stand for. And so greatamericanpureflix.com is the place to go to enter. Just it's not a contest, but we are choosing some of the renditions and playing them at 6 a.m. in the morning. We'll have a July 4th announcement about ones that we will, that we've chosen, and we're very excited to roll them out.
So tell me about some of the, I know you can't, you know, you don't want to divulge everything here, but tell us about some of the folks. I mean, are we talking about people or groups, choirs? Tell us who all's been entering.
We've had all walks of life, which is what we love the most, you know, because when you have choirs and you have individual schools doing it and you have individual people who just video themselves singing that song, it's so beautiful and so representative of the country. It really makes you feel good about not only what we're doing, but what spirit is out there. And it's, you know, you'd never read about it. You'd never see it on TV because the media doesn't want you to see it on TV or read about it. But it is, America is alive and well and thriving.
I love this. You know, it's when you really dig down deep and you start looking at who we are as Americans, I mean, it really is an amazing country. I'll never forget this, Bill. Unfortunately, they stopped doing this. But for many, many years, there was a Dutch bakery in Michigan. And I don't know how they ended up with an organ, a pipe organ, in the lobby of their bakery. But every Tuesday, they would have a good old-fashioned hymn sing. And they would pass out, they had hymn books. And while people were ordering their donuts and their pastries, they would do a sing-along and sing some of the great hymns of our faith. I love those kinds of stories. And so that's why I'm really excited to see the kinds of folks that ended up participating in the anthem sing.
Yeah, we can't wait to roll it out and give them the credit they deserve, and we're very much looking forward to it.
Okay, when is that?
Congratulations on your book, Star Spangled Blessing. That will be that's a big piece of what is being talked about in the nation, and it's so great to have that representation out there.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, Michelle Cox and I, Michelle used to write devotion books for a series called Wind Calls the Heart, and she and I do these devotion books together. We had so much fun. And I tell you, there was so much material there. I think we're actually working on another edition of that, just celebrating the incredible things that God has done to bless our country. And I appreciate you saying that. Bill, when are people going to be able to watch these anthems? Where can they go to watch them?
So we'll have them online at greatamericanpureflix.com once we announce those who have been chosen. And then we will air them 6 a.m. every morning to start our broadcast day, to honor the country and honor the people within the country. So I very much look forward to forward to that.
I just love that. GACmedia.com, ladies and gentlemen, GACmedia.com. And you're going to be able to see your fellow countrymen performing the national anthem, and that is going to be a lot of fun. Bill,
it's
always
on the show, she should do a When Hope Calls devotional, which is one of our series, and we'd love the two of you to work on that. We're very familiar with When Calls the Heart, obviously. We'd love to do it for When Hope Calls.
You know what? I would love to do that. Bill, we're going to have to get together off air, and we'll definitely do that. And I was trying to get our crew here to put together a national anthem, but we don't do music that well.
Well, we respect the effort most of all.
The old college try. All right, Bill. Great to see you, my friend.
Likewise, Todd. Thank you very much.
You got it. You know, we could have had, like, you know how the Dylan, the singing cats and the dogs. Could you imagine if we could have, like, a Miss Cheryl, our advertising person, her dog Winnie? We could get Grace Baker's Merlot, and we could get them to, I don't know, bark the national anthem.
That is an idea that you said.
I'm not.
Todd, I'm slightly offended, by the way. You have two music majors in the studio here.
Yeah, but can you sing? You play instruments.
Of course, I can sing. Yeah.
You can.
I'm not going to show you right now, but I, you know.
We should have asked. Maybe Ian. He's a virtuoso. Probably.
He can do literally everything. I don't know how,
he's building a spaceship now.
But. You know what? We're going to do it. We're going to put it together and surprise you.
I will be surprised. I didn't catch a lot of buy-in though from the team on this idea.
No, you didn't. It's, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, look, folks, I think this is a terrific idea. And again, GACmedia.com, go check it out. And Great American Media launching the America Sings the Anthem, which is a nationwide initiative to honor America's 250th birthday celebration. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, you just heard Bill. That was very kind of him. Give my book a shout out, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get this book at every bookstore in America. You can also order it on Amazon. I think it's a lot cheaper on Amazon, Target, Walmart. And we would love for you to read that. It is a wonderful way to commemorate America 250 and to get out there and really understand and appreciate how much God has blessed America. And I don't know about you folks, but I know that God has blessed America. All right, coming up, we're going to try to sort through what's happening with this Iran story. It is a mess, ladies and gentlemen, and I am very, very troubled by the directions that we are going right now when it comes to this, whatever this deal is. We're going to talk more about that coming up next. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Wendy Patrick. She's going to be here. Also, our good buddy Jeff Katz is going to drop by. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Jameson Taylor, who is with American Family Association Action, over a new poll showing a decline in American support for LGBTQ plus issues. Also coming up in the next hour, we're going to and we're going to start off the show with the very latest on what's happening with the Iran deal. Folks, it's not good. And quite frankly, it looks, and again, we don't have, first of all, we do not have a deal. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Iranians, which is not a deal. Now, the way it has been presented thus far, it certainly looks as though the Iranians are going to get their money back. That's a big problem. The other issue here is that it's not quite clear what's going to happen with Iran's stockpiles of weapons. So we're going to see how all this plays out. But a lot of folks on both sides are very unhappy. Mark Levin's about to have a heart attack over all of this, but he is just he's just simply enraged over it. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we do have some fan mail. You know, we get the fan mail quite a bit around here, Dylan, and let's go through some of the mail. All right, this letter from Paul Campery of, we believe, Houston, Texas. Paul says, Todd Starnes wants to know if James Tallarico has an affinity for frilly underpants. No, I was, well, I did ask that, but I was asking in the context of Paul, I was asking in the context of whether or not Mr. Tallarico had come to terms with his masculinity. And it was my understanding that he had not come to terms with his masculinity. So anyway, he goes on to say, Todd, given that you've chosen to go the typical MAGA degenerate route in hitting below the belt with your stupidity, I have to assume from this short clip that you support Ken Paxton, a hardened criminal so reminiscent of Donald Trump. Well, Ken Paxton is, what is he talking about? Ken Paxton's not a criminal. He's your nominee for Senate, sir. Anyway, this guy goes on. He is very, very wordy. All in all, Ken Paxton makes the perfect MAGA candidate, and it's no surprise that Trump is supporting him. Birds of a feather flock together. You must be so proud. Signed, Paul Campery. Dylan, I don't think he's a happy camper there.
Not so much as a fan as I thought.
No, no, no. I'm trying to get to my other... Oh, here we go. This is from someone named Tiller Brock. The subject line, important info, time sensitive. Oh, my. Dear Todd, thank you for reading this. Todd Starnes is nothing. I think everything you do for this world amounts to literally nothing. I think your presence as a whole is the equivalent to taking a math problem and subtracting zero. You are genuinely a waste of space. I don't think this guy likes me either. Seeing as you are a Republican, you are probably religious. Maybe that widow maker was God telling you to stop being a useless blind B-word your whole life. Oh, my. Sincerely, blank you, Todd Starnes. That was very unkind. I think that last part, I think he made his point there. Oh, I've got more, Dylan. Hold on. We're not finished yet. This is terrible. So this is from Kevin. Kevin offers no information on where he is from. The subject line from Kevin, Todd, you're an idiot. Trump put his name on the Kennedy Center illegally, you boot-licking suck-up. Who are you anyway? You know, I love it when people ask these questions because they take the time. You know, they say you're a nobody, and yet they take the time to sit down and write you a message like this.
A very, like, long-winded message as well.
Yes. Or, in this case, some guy actually wrote this, printed it out, and spent money on a stamp to send me his hatred.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. The Widowmaker, that was a little harsh. Jeez, Lou. These are very unkind people that listen. Oh, my word. All right. 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, some days I would at least like to get at least one piece of actual fan mail.
It needs to balance out, right?
Yes. I mean, for every letter or email wishing that I experienced some sort of a brutally painful death.
Yeah.
You know, it would be nice to get one that says, Todd, have a nice day. We like you.
It's nice to hear from you, Todd. Yeah.
You're a good guy.
You know, we get a lot of those messages, but, you know, they're not as formal as the hate messages, unfortunately.
No, actually, we don't. It's it is a problem.
Well, I see them, Todd. I see them.
Well, thank you, Dylan.
We have a lot of social media we post on.
It's gotten so bad that every time I get a box or a package in the mail, I open it with trepidation.
Yeah. needs a sniff test.
Exactly. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You folks in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, wow. Tammy Sawyer, the Shelby County General Sessions Court Clerk, she is in big trouble. Got indicted. We'll figure out what's going on there. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Settlers, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Hour two of the big show underway. And hope you had a terrific, terrific weekend. A lot going on. By the way, Jeff Katz from WRVA is going to be joining us in just a little while to talk about the incredible UFC fight night. He has a very interesting perspective on that. By the way, this segment of the Todd Starnes Radio Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. A new study finding 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits they deserve. And Social Security expert Michael Allen wants you to know there are five key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. It is an important study, and we want to send it to you free of charge, whether you are getting benefits or you soon will. Give us a call, 800-999-9690. Again, that number, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. Well, an interesting study released just about a week ago, a new poll revealing a significant decline in the amount of support Americans have for LGBT issues. I want to bring into the conversation our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Dr. Jameson Taylor, director of the Center for Government Renewal at AFA Action. Dr. Taylor, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on today, Todd.
So I'm curious, what do you make of the decline here? This is rather interesting.
I think this is really interesting. You know, one thing to note is that a big part of this decline is Republicans. And so I'm wondering, as I look at this, okay, are we starting to see a trend, or maybe this is just a fad, but are we starting to see a trend where Republicans, more and more Republicans, are no longer drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to same-sex marriage, when it comes to the morality of these sorts of relationships? So look at the kind of polling, that's where we're seeing where the shift is. Democrats rock solid on this. You know, they're almost at 90%. It's the Republicans that are starting to raise questions as to, wait a minute, this is not what it seems to be. And I think more and more people are asking these sorts of questions as they are encountering our culture and the toxicity of our culture.
You know, I'm wondering if it is a case of just taking things too far and going back to the Supreme Court ruling when the justices overturned what God had defined as marriage. You know, at that time, Barack Obama said, hey, look, this isn't going to impact you if you're not gay or lesbian. You know, who cares? Go live your life. You're not going to be bothered by this. But now not only are we being bothered by it, but now we've come to understand that children as young as 4 and 5 years old are being indoctrinated by this stuff.
That's right. And I think increasingly what's happening is that people are looking around, especially young people, and they live in a culture where they're told that they can be whatever they want to be. You know, this is Darwinism 101. You can create your own identity, whatever you want to be. From nothing and we get something, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. Every parent, schools are saying this all the time. And so this is what they've lived with. And when it comes to them deciding who they're going to be, what they're going to do, they try all these different things. You know, they're experimenting with sexuality, experimenting with different types of jobs. If they do have a job, you know, experimenting with being an influencer, whatever it may be, they're trying to find their way. And as a result, they're miserable. And I think that's what's happening in our culture right now, that more and more people are waking up because they're finding that what the Democrats are selling, what the left is selling, is making them miserable. And so the only way that the left can maintain its control over public opinion is through propaganda. And that's another interesting thing that comes from this poll. Gallup says, well, we think this shift in opinion, which is a large shift in opinion, we think this shift in opinion is because we no longer have government funded, or not as much at least. We don't have as much government funded. Propaganda. So people are starting to question whether or not this is actually true.
We have Dr. Jameson Taylor with us, director of the Center for Government Renewal at AFA Action. You know, another part of that survey, and this is from Gallup, and I want to read this, says, in addition, moral acceptance of the LGBTQ plus relationships has dropped to its lowest level since 2016, and public acceptance of gender transition has fallen sharply within the last 5 years. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's part of this idea that people are realizing that you can't just pick and choose on these issues, that it's not just about tolerating the two nice guys who live across the street. It's that this entire lifestyle it comes with this. And that's why you see you're seeing more and more in the news, older gay men who may be stars or very celebrities. You're finding they're involved in pedophile rings. And the Epstein list is tied into some of this as well. What is it about these rich and powerful people that they're attracted to young people and young boys in particular? And I think people are realizing that. Well, wait a minute. This is perverse. There's something wrong with this. And that goes back to what I was saying before, that people are yearning for truth. They're yearning for authenticity. And so they're asking questions. And what they're encountering when they encounter the truth, they're encountering Christianity. We're seeing more and more young men in particular. This is something very important to watch. More and more young men in particular are becoming more religious. And that's where we're seeing part of this shift among Republicans, is that young men are saying, you know what, this is not right. This gay marriage it's fake. It's a fake marriage. And this lifestyle is a sinful lifestyle. So as you see, more and more young men in particular are going back to church. They're raising these questions and they're throwing all of this out altogether. And again, the only way that the left is going to maintain this is through propaganda. Another story I want to shift to real quick is, did you see what Zohran Mamdani did in New York? You know, right after the Knicks just won, so nobody's paying attention. The propaganda office that he has set up, instead of $5 million that is going to cost New York City taxpayers, $50 million. And that gets back to how does the left stay in power? They have to lie. In this case, they're lying about marriage, but they lie about religion. They lie about all sorts of things. They lie about the economy. They have to lie to stay in power. And as people begin to question those lies, they're waking up.
Wow. It's a fascinating study. And I guess we will see if these trends continue to head down, at least trend downward. But certainly an amazing thing that's happening in our culture right now. We certainly appreciate you joining us this afternoon. And thanks for the great insight in this polling data from Gallup.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, our friends from American Family Association, AFA Action, on this new Gallup survey. That was Dr. Jameson Taylor joining us there. All right. We have got to take a quick break. When we come back, the latest on Iran. And ladies and gentlemen, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with how the Trump administration has handled the Iranian war? Also, very disturbing reports coming out of Washington that there was an incident. Well, we'll tell you more about that coming up after the break. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I was there, 4,000 seat arena. I got to be honest, coming off the NBA Finals, where I was at multiple NBA Finals, better event than NBA Finals.
Wow.
It was a better event than NBA Finals. But the White House literally being right there, Incredible.
All right. That was Jay Williams with Stephen A. Smith, who, by the way, Stephen A. Smith was actually very complimentary of everything that happened down there at the White House yesterday. And it was pretty remarkable. Got to tell you, very impressive. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And guys, if we could, I'm probably going to need some new headphones. I think I've got a pretty serious an issue with the headphones here. So if we could make that happen, that would be great. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is, again, from yesterday. Dave Portnoy says that Trump needs to denounce the Michelle Obama insult. So Big M, very upset, apparently. Cut 15.
There was one moment I do think Trump has to denounce, and anybody associated with it has to denounce, and that's that crazy fighter guy. I don't even have his name up here, but he won the fight. He took the microphone, and he made a derogatory comment about Michelle Obama. To me, that on the White House lawn. Now, you these are UFC guys, all right? They're crazy. They're idiots. You have Sean Strickland, who's one of the craziest people of all time, to the point you can't even pay attention to what he says, snuck in. But when you have that on the White House lawn, on an event you put down, I don't care what you think about the Obamas or anything, that has to be an immediate denounce. Like, wrong, doesn't speak for me. I have no problem with the event. I guess you run that risk because these guys are lunatics. But that was the only thing. If Trump should denounce it, he should say that was totally wrong. The event itself, listen, the troops seem to love it. All the people there seem to love it. I have no problem with it. I think you're crying over spilled milk if you are upset about the actual event. But that comment, if you're going to do it, own it and be like, we don't, that was wrong and should never happen.
All right, well, why is it Donald Trump's fault? He's not the guy that said anything about that, for crying out loud. Again, if it's on the fighter, it's on UFC, whatever, but this has nothing to do with Donald Trump at all. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio. We're switching gears here. This is J.D. Vance, the vice president, on this $300 billion reconstruction fund for Iran. Take a listen to Cut 12.
Walk through some of this. The Iranians are saying that they're going to have access to a $300 billion reconstruction fund. True or false?
Well, Ed, that's the sort of thing they could have access to, funded by the Gulf Coast Coalition, so long as they honor their end of the obligation. I think that one of the things you're going to see, Ed, and people have to be skeptical of this, is that the hardliners in the Iranian system will overemphasize the benefits that Iran gets while underemphasizing all the things that they have to concede and all the things they have to provide in order to get these benefits. So we absolutely are open to the Gulf Coast countries investing in the reconstruction of Iran, but only if Iran ends their nuclear program, ends their enriched stockpile of material, and is really open to an inspections and enforcement regime that gives the American people confidence right. They're never going to have a nuclear weapon. So I think the dance you're going to see, Ed, which is going to be interesting, is the Iranian media, especially the hardline media, they're going to talk a lot about what they get without talking about what they give. It's important for all of us to correct that record.
Yeah, okay. But my question would be, though, why are we giving Iran anything? In all seriousness here. And I know that's where, you know, Mark Levin is pretty fired up about this. Ben Shapiro. Shapiro says, if you want to sign some sort of a temporary ceasefire, do it via DocuSign and be done. But the idea of a gigantic photo op with the leader of the Iranian parliament, who is a stand-in for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, is a visual slap in the face to the tens of thousands of Iranians who died at the hands of Galbaf's friends. Talking about Baghdad. And not only that, it ties the Trump administration to whatever is the future of the Iranian regime. So look, here's what Shapiro and Levin were wanting: regime change. That's their goal in all of this. But Trump told us early on that was not necessarily going to be the case. There was no regime change. This was all about destroying their ability to make nuclear weapons. Ben Shapiro goes on to say the idea of a full-scale celebratory photo op, all that does is re-enshrine in the minds of the administration that they now have to pretend that the Iranians are reasonable and good and that anything they do is not a betrayal of the deal, which, of course, the Iranians will violate any deal. By the way, the president really upset with Netanyahu. And look, Israel's got to play along here. You know, Trump was right to be upset. They're trying to work something out, whatever that is. And the president said, again, when Netanyahu, they fired on Lebanon again, President Trump said, Netanyahu has no blanking judgment. I pass that message on to him. I am very unhappy with the attack on Beirut. Why did Bibi have to do a blanking attack? I was so pissed off. I let him know he has no blanking judgment. The president told Fox that he told Netanyahu, what the blank are you doing? President very upset because he's trying to end the war with Iran. And at this stage, ladies and gentlemen, what would you like the president to do here? Do we just sign whatever, declare victory, and go on with our lives? Is that what we do? You know, my concern is what happens if Iran decides to fire again? Are we going to go through this perpetual ceasefire? Is that what we're going to do here? It's a mess, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great big mess. At this point, I don't care how Trump gets out of it, as long as he gets out of it, because we have got to start seeing prices returning back to normal. That's what we've got to do. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, interesting story out of USA Today. They have a crazy left-wing sports writer. Her name is Christine Brennan. She's from Toledo, Ohio. I had to look that up. And she's very surprised by all you Southerners out there. She said she's surprised that the South has been so welcoming to international tourists here for the World Cup. Take a listen to Cut 2.
The World Cup, as we all know, a major cultural eye-opener for so many fans traveling to North America to watch all of this, including here in the United States. There's a German fan whose name is Freddie, who has gained a massive following online as he has tweeted about discovering quintessential American staples, including Bass Pro Shop, Bucky's, and Waffle House. Talk to me a little bit about the importance of sports in giving people a glimpse into American culture.
That is so fun. That's the flip side of the conversation we were just having, is that these tourists are still coming, the ones who can, certainly Europeans, people who love soccer way more than the United States. It's been a part of their lives for you know, ever, where for us, as Coy was saying, it's a newer game on the women's and men's side. And so that I've looked at those tweets from him. Just he's having a delight. And Americans are loving that, too. And I saw some conversation, Wolf and Pamela, about how the rest of the world is looking at the United States and feeling that we are it's a foreboding image and that we are inhospitable. And here is a German tourist and others as well now on social media saying, no, 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 the Americans are great. So what a shame that that's the image that the world has, many have of us, but how wonderful, again, that sports can bring people here and show people that the United States and you know, the South is welcoming a German tourist in a way we would never have anticipated. And thanks.
Well, the reason why the world has that negative impression of America is because of left-wing media outlets like CNN and PMS Now and the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost. We are a nice people, right? Yes, we are. 901-260-5926. I don't know what it is with these Republicans, these scandals. In Georgia, you've got allegations involving one of the guys running there, Mike Collins, involving a massage parlor. And now tomorrow you've got the primary day in Oklahoma, where the former head, or I guess the current head of Pastors for Trump, is now facing some rather scurrilous allegations. This is the headline. Scandal engulfs Trump's MAGA warrior on election eve. MAGA church pastor. This is terrible. So the mega church pastor was, who's in charge of pastors for Trump, was sending salacious text messages to Miss Oklahoma. And apparently the guy's wife, the preacher's wife, found out about it and told her, called her out, said, "Don't you be calling my man again." So now Jackson Lehmeyer, who is running for Congress, he's on the ballot tomorrow, the first congressional district, putting out a statement calling it a distorted story. He said, okay, that's not what, you know, if you're on the campaign staff, that's not the word you want to hear. The question is it true or not? He goes on to say this matter was already dealt with privately between me and my wife. By the way, the wife, the preacher's wife, called the Miss Oklahoma a whore and a homewrecker. There was no distortion there. He goes on to say that we've already dealt with the matter through counsel and prayer with God and spiritual advisors. I own crossing a boundary line through text messaging. Oh, geez. So he did it. Where's the distortion here? I also ended all communication. The British tabloid trying to paint me out in a way which is not the case. So you weren't cheating on your wife, sir? Preacher? Unbelievable. All right. Crazy story out of Oklahoma. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. She is an incredible Newsmax columnist, also a career trial attorney, Wendy Patrick. Wendy, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, it's always a pleasure to join you. Thank you.
You know, it's sometimes you just have to shake your head at all this kind of stuff. And the reality is we need to make sure that Republicans are putting up some good and decent and, dare I say, wholesome candidates.
You know, Todd, I could not agree with you more. Why is it? And it's not sometimes. It's all the time. It's every race. There's always something that's being reported that, let's just be kind and say, paints the candidate in a less than perfect light, and it usually involves some type of scandal. The question we end up asking ourselves more often than not is, do voters care? Or are they simply going to vote for the candidate who's going to make their life easier? But we should care. And there's no reason we don't have more wholesome candidates that we should be running in jurisdictions everywhere. And you're right. This is just the latest example of something that not only was not denied, but also something that's probably highly preventable, particularly among people that are already in the public eye.
And, you know, it's a pretty good, I would say, you know, if you're going through the list of things you should and should not do as a candidate, if you're a pastor, you probably don't need to be shacking up with Miss Oklahoma if you got a wife and kids back at the house. I say that, Wendy Patrick, because as bad as that is, it pales in comparison to the fact that the people of Maine have selected a guy who has a Nazi tattoo, among other problems.
Yeah, you know, that was a really amazing story. And it's a particularly bad story, given the fact that that was the gift that just kept on giving. You remember, it was one thing after another when disclosures were coming out about his campaign. And despite all of that, we have the results. That's why I keep going back to, does it really matter to voters, or are they just going to say, who's going to make my life better? And maybe we'll finally begin an era where it should matter to voters. And you mentioned something earlier, Todd, it shouldn't matter whether or not you're running for office. This is still an era where we want to have people comport themselves with grace and also be able to keep themselves clean. You know, it's whether or not you're going to run for politics, it still impacts everything you do. We tell our young people this when we warn them about what to post and not to post on social media. We should be warning the adults as well.
Well, exactly. To that point, we've been following closely what's been happening out in California. And we understand UC Berkeley they released a poll a few days ago. This is the first poll since the race was solidified. It's got Javier Becerra with a 20 percentage point lead over Steve Hilton. What do we need to make of this?
Well, I think people finally rediscovered Javier Becerra. We learned that during the campaign when people said, wait a minute, Swalwell's gone. Who else are we going to run? And finally realized Javier Becerra was kind of the safe school candidate who didn't have scandal. So I suppose that they do still exist. But nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew how to vote for him. And then the question becomes, is President Trump's endorsement a blessing or a curse for Steve Hilton? I mean, let's...
Oh, boy. I think we've got some bad connection issues. We'll try to work that out and try to get Wendy. We'll try to get her back later this week. Our apologies there, ladies and gentlemen. But Wendy Patrick there on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. It's 901-260-5926. I've got a question for you. I want to share a case with you and an incident that happened over the weekend, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation is looking into an incident that occurred at a Walmart in Senatobia, Mississippi. Police officers were called to the Walmart because of a shoplifting incident. There were two people, a man and a woman, and they had a child, a one-year-old child with them, and they were running away from the store. They had been accused of shoplifting, and the police officers gave chase. The two subjects and the child fled from the store into a vehicle. Police officers tried to stop the vehicle, and that's when the driver turned the car and aimed the car at the officers. One officer shot into the car, and the car fled the scene. According to police, the subjects arrived at a local hospital where one of the adults had critical injuries, and unfortunately, the child, the one-year-old, was killed. No police officers were injured in the attack. Now, the police department is investigating, and Senatobia is about 40 miles south of downtown Memphis. But a lot of people are enraged right now at the police, and they are saying that the police overreacted here. The family of the one-year-old says this is simply not right, and they said they are devastated by the loss of the one-year-old child, as well they should be. It's a terrible tragedy. Caroline Stokes is a relative of the family. She said, "We don't really know anything, why it happened or whatever. All we know is that a car was shot up and a one-year-old baby was killed." Lycol Wiley is another relative. And Lycol Wiley said this, "It did not have to happen this way. It could have been handled differently." She went on to say that she doesn't understand how a shoplifting call could lead to a child being shot and a woman being critically injured, saying she believes the incident stemmed from the alleged theft of Pampers. Quote, "Senatobia, Mississippi police opened fire in a public setting over allegedly some Pampers," she said. The grandfather, Carlos Haynes, says, "I'm just at a loss for words, to be honest. Somebody needs to be held accountable. It's just not right. Everything and everybody involved needs to be held accountable. We demand justice." So it just seems to me here that, and by the way, the police did not open fire because they stole a box of Pampers. They opened fire because the driver was about to run them over. And that seems to have gotten lost here in the conversation. It seems to me that whoever is involved, you know, whoever is to blame, it's the two people, the two adults in that vehicle. They're the ones that chose to bring a one-year-old on a crime spree. Therefore, whatever happens, it's on them. But I'm curious here, ladies and gentlemen, your take on this, because a lot of people are now, they're coming out and they're showing their support for the family. And they said that the police should have practiced restraint, that the police could have or should have just jumped out of the way. Jeez. Well, that's easy for you to say when you've got somebody that's coming after you trying to run you over in a car. So I'm curious here, who's to blame for the death of this one-year-old? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. People are really fired up. They're wanting to get the NAACP involved, Al Sharpton, and they're wanting the police to be held accountable here for whatever happened. What a mess, ladies and gentlemen. But again, it is certainly a tragedy, certainly a tragedy. But here's the deal. If you're going to go out and commit crimes, you got to leave your kids at home. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the golden age, how Trump saved America. Very excited about the launch of the new book. It's coming up August 11th. The book will be in bookstores across the nation. The first printing is well underway, and here's where we really need your help. We've been encouraging you, I've been encouraging you, to pre-order a copy of the book. And the reason why we're doing that, first of all, you're guaranteed to get a copy on launch day. Number two, the last book that came out, they completely sold out of the first printing on the first day. So they want to get a pretty good guesstimate of how many books they need to be printing. Right now, the number about 10 to 15,000 in the first printing, but we need your help. So if you could go to Amazon online, Barnes & Noble online, Books A Million, pre-order a copy, that's going to help us out tremendously. Actually, order two or three. You're going to want to give this book to people. It's really going to be a blessing to you. I'm excited for you to read this book, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right, let's go to the phones here. Stephen in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on WTKS. All right, Stephen, what do you make of this case in Mississippi?
Well, first I want to tell you, congratulations on the book coming out. I have the first book that you had published. And I have a lot of very liberal friends, and we're friends, but I passed it on to one person. I finally got the book back, Despicable America. I finally got it back. It is so dog-eared. I mean, all kind of stuff outlined in yellow, and a lot of them, well, everybody almost, they said, we just didn't know. You know, we just go with what we're being told. In fact, on, I think it was Lars's show, they were going on to just a King rally, the King's rally. And they were asking people, well, you know, why do you hate Trump? I mean, what makes him? Nobody could give a very clear answer, if anything. But the one that was best of all, now this is typical. They asked this guy, the young man, and they said, well, why do you hate Trump? And he said, well, you know, everybody around me does, and so I'm going to just, you know, I go with them. That's what this is. Liberals, they don't have informed conversation. They simply hear something that or see something they don't like. Well, then they just make up a counter and literally make it up. So what say you?
Yeah, yeah. So what did you call for though, Stephen?
About the that is completely the parents. Fault. If you take an innocent anywhere with you and put it in danger, that alone is a crime. And now what has happened, I think they should be charged. They should be charged. The police, absolutely. Forget that. I feel like their actions led directly to the killing of that baby.
Well, it's a, again, terrible tragedy, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they should not have brought their kid along on their crime spree, and we will see. I'm sure they have body cam footage and all of that, and the truth will come out.
Right. Well, I'm certain it will. I feel good about this.
All right.
And congratulations on your book.
Well, thank you.
I look forward to getting a copy.
Stephen, I appreciate that, and thank you for the kind words there. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is from the UK. They have now implemented a social media ban for young people under the age of 16, and they interviewed a bunch of school kids on BBC about this. Cut number 7.
Please put your hands up, those of you who welcome the ban. Hands up for those who welcome the ban. So this just gives you an idea. I think it's pretty fair to say that most of these students there, 11 to 14, most are pretty disappointed with the ban. Let's just come over to you, Isabella. Tell me how you felt when you heard the Prime Minister say no more social media for you.
I didn't think it would actually happen. I kind of believed that he'd chicken out of it and give it more time or more consideration, but he seems pretty sure of it, and I'm not sure if I agree with him.
What are you most worried about?
Not being able to contact my friends. I don't know what will happen and how it will happen, or whether if there's some technicalities to what apps are restricted, but I use most of my social media to contact my parents and family.
I mean, I think it's worth reminding people, earlier we looked at screen time. What was your screen time over the weekend?
9 hours.
9 hours. So suddenly you're going to have a lot more time to fill. And what will you do?
Stare at a wall.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible. Dylan.
I have not heard that last part.
I hate
that was funny.
I hate it for the British.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, this really sucks. So this is crazy. 16 and under, no access to social media. And here are the platforms that kids will be banned from, Dylan. Snapchat.
Yep.
TikTok. YouTube. Instagram. Facebook. And X.
That's like all the main ones that the teens are using. So, I mean, that's it.
It is. They say it is the strictest ban on social media in the world.
I mean, you know, I have a hot take, but I mean, I have two sides of it. Like, I think, you know, no social media is actually a good thing, but for the government to enforce it, maybe not the best thing.
How do you enforce something like that?
Yeah, seriously. I guess you just, you know, you can't have it on your phones anymore. But how do you know if you're 16 or under?
The government says it plans to block kids under 16 from live streaming and from communicating with strangers on a wider range of online services, including game sites. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Because all the kids play the video games.
It's true. Yeah, it's a good question.
That and the rap music. That's what led to the downfall of Western civilization. That's what they say. Damn rap music. The government says it would be looking in more detail at overnight curfews and breaks in infinite scrolling for people under 18. Man, welcome to like 1984 in the UK. You people, you get what you vote for over there. But moms, dads, what do you think about this? Banning kids from social media, 16 and under, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us for this hour of the program. By the way, coming up, a crazy story out of Fairfax County, Virginia. We're going to be talking with Stephanie Lundquist Arora. She was on Fox this morning. She's going to be with us in just a little while. Turns out that they're looking at eliminating some holidays, and believe it or not, on the chopping block is Christmas. I am not making this up. So Fairfax County, Virginia, man, it is ground zero for everything that is wrong in America's public schools. By the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want you to listen to something that was played last night. They had all these very patriotic vignettes to the entire UFC Freedom 250 fight night. I want you to listen to cut number five, please.
When we view American history from a distance, we see indelible images frozen in time. But when we take a closer look at the faces of those who founded this nation, we see America's fighting spirit come to life right before our eyes.
The British are coming!
We're a nation born of revolution. So fighting is in our DNA. Liberty's call still echoes across the ages. The sacrifice of patriots inspire us to this day. The courage of pioneers still shows us the way. From the singular icons who shook up the world to the millions of unknowns who marched for their rights, our fighting spirit is a living legacy of all who step forward when the moment demands it. Our lifeblood comes from the people who came before us, who fought for our freedom and brought us to new frontiers. After 250 years, our story is just beginning, and our National Gallery is still a timeless work in progress. With each generation, countless new images of our fighting spirit come into view, and every one of us may leave our mark on the great American mural.
And lastly, Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
Wow. All right. I want to bring in Jeff Katz from WRVA in Richmond, Virginia, our affiliate there, Jeff. Jeez, Alou.
It is good to be with you, Todd. It's good to have you exactly where you belong, and know that we here in Central Virginia are trying to stand on guard about against some of the nonsense coming from Fairfax and Loudoun. I know you've got that up in a couple of moments, man.
Yeah, look, it's a crazy story, but I got to tell you, last night, I don't know if you caught much of the fight. I watched it as soon as it started and to the very last fight at the end of the fireworks. What a great night for America.
Yeah, well, you know, Todd, it was a reminder, really, of what America is, who we are as Americans, right? I mean, it was one man taking on another man in a contest. Both of those men, actually men. So right there's a win after a couple of years of the Biden situation. But, you know, a competition, one person wins and one person loses, and all of the patriotism. In other words, everything that the leftists hate. There were a lot of left-wing tears shed last night.
Well, there were. I could, you know, I wrote a column about this. It's, folks, you got to read it at toddstearns.com. I really shudder to imagine what this could have been if Kamala Harris had actually been elected, because I think we would have seen Bravo broadcasting a drag show on the South Lawn and musical performances by the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you remember some of the nonsense that took place during the Biden years, man, you had the various and sundry transgender parades. You had the one guy who, I guess, had breast implants, was running around the South Lawn naked. You had all sorts of insane sorts of images. And this was all about love in America, which is exactly what should be going on at the White House.
The turnout was just insane. I think they said they had about 85,000 people on the Ellipse. It was a huge.
Wow.
It was huge. But what was fascinating about it, the Weather Channel came out earlier in the day, and they were putting out these very disturbing warnings. Severe storms, winds, rain, thunderstorms, lightning. And then they said, even more ominously, mosquitoes. As if, I don't know, you guys in that part of the country, Jeff, do you guys have swarms of giant mosquitoes that just attack people?
we have your normal annoying mosquitoes, but no deadly contingents of mosquitoes.
So here's the thing on that. It there was not a drop of rain. It was not windy. Yeah. And first responders don't report treating anybody for any sort of an insect bite. So again,
right.
This is the same. These people can't even get a 7-day forecast, right? So, but again, yeah. I just, Jeff, you know, when you step back and when you look at the people that are hating on it, and there are a lot of them, I think they just really hate our country. They hate America.
Yeah, I think you're fundamentally right, Todd. And you know what? I'm going to throw in some of those weather people, because I don't think they got the forecast wrong. I think they made up a forecast and put it out there in hopes of keeping people away from the event. And then they'd be able to turn around and say, see what a miserable situation this was. Nobody showed up. Nobody cared about this. But you're right. We're seeing such a clear line of delineation these days between those of us who love America, we're excited about America 250, and those who just continue to hate this great nation. It's awful.
Jeff, I want to play some audio. And by the way, we had the great Jeff Katz with us. You know, the Democrats, the libtards, were doing something else. They had a little, they threw a hoot nanny, and they had a choir and a pianist. And here is some of, Dylan, should we just play the worst of the worst for Jeff? Let's play the worst of the worst for Jeff.
No one is getting left behind this time. No one is getting left behind. Not this time. No one is getting left behind this time. How do we get there? Together or never get there at all.
I don't want to go where they're going, Jeff. Please leave me behind.
What do you say? I mean, in addition to maybe we all just kick in a couple of bucks so that guy gets some singing lessons, and maybe that's the beginning point. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. I know you're a big wrestling guy, and I was doing a little research on Teddy Roosevelt, who, that was an insane White House. You know, they had all the kids, and they had animals, wild animals running through the White House. You know, Roosevelt, I didn't realize this, was actually a boxer and a wrestler, and on regular occasion, he would actually invite people to fight inside the White House, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a big guy. He did the bare knuckled fighting, which I think is kind of the direct predecessor to UFC. And I don't know, maybe President Trump's taken a page from Teddy Roosevelt. Maybe we're going to see giraffes and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
I love this. So according to the White House, and they have a great historical website, you can go back and just read all of this, and it's really fascinating. But not only did Roosevelt hold regular boxing sessions, he actually, on occasion, he would take a punch or two. And one of the reasons he wore glasses is because he was blinded in one eye because he took a punch to the eye, and he lost his vision. And but again, no hard feelings. You know, it was just kind of, you know, that's how he liked to keep in shape.
Yeah. Well, it's the one moment where many people are thankful now for the Nordic Trek, you know, not catching as many punches to the head.
There was a great, in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, this was November 4th, 1917, how Colonel Roosevelt lost his eye. Wow. Very graphic for the newspaper back in the day. Jeff Katz, Jeff Katz joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Of course, Jeff, the other big story we've been following is this this Iran deal that has really enraged everybody at Fox News. Marjorie Taylor Greene is furious that we're somehow going to be providing $300 million billion dollars to Iran to reconstruct what we blew up. And again, I think a lot of this may be conjecture because none of us have actually seen whatever the agreement is.
Yeah, Todd, I'm certainly happy to hear that there is some sort of an arrangement. I am going to reserve judgment until I see what's actually in there. I'm hearing, you know, all sorts of histrionics from folks on all sides. But I can't sit here and honestly say I know A, B, and C of the details. So I personally, I've got to wait and see what it is.
I've been really frustrated with the administration on the whole ceasefire thing. I don't think you can. I don't think you can trust the Iranians, and we can't let them get a nuke. That's just for me. That's the line in the sand. I don't know if that makes me a bad person or what, but that's where I stand on it.
No, I don't think it makes you a bad person at all. I'm with you, and you know, I'm going to be very interested to hear what Benjamin Netanyahu has to say about this. I know he's speaking today. I'm waiting anxiously to see the details, but I don't think that you can trust the Iranian regime. Period. End of story. I am always concerned that their real desire here is to destroy the world as we know it, because they think they're bringing the Mahdi back. And I'm just always leery of any sort of an arrangement, any sort of an agreement with the leaders in Iran, because I think they're fundamentally, completely, totally untrustworthy.
Jeff, I'm wondering if you've been following any of these, switching gears, have you been following any of the international visitors that are documenting their journey to America for the World Cup? Have you been following any of that?
Yeah, I have seen some of it. You know, my old stomping grounds in Boston, the Scots have really apparently taken over Boston, and I'm not sure how that's working out for everybody, if it's haggis all the way around, but some of it has been fun, although I must tell you, Todd, in all candor, I still don't get soccer, and I'm just not interested in spending an hour or 90 minutes or 3 weeks, however long it takes to play a game, and you'll wind up with a nail biter 0-0 or 1-0. I don't know. Give me football.
Yeah, that's it. I want football. And look, I'm glad they're here, and I'm glad they're having fun. And, you know, they've discovered like Buc-ee's and Chick-fil-A and Walmart. Right. You know, what gets me, though, I know this. These are the kinds of people we actually want coming to America, right? I mean, if you're talking about immigrants, we want those guys. I want Freddie from Germany. Naturalize the guy.
Absolutely. I want all of those folks who are posting the wonderful videos going, oh, my God, I don't know how you pronounce this. Buc-ee's, Buc-ee's. And everybody in the background is Buc-ee's. Oh, well, whatever it is, it's like winning a scratch ticket, man. We need these.
Oh, the British people go into the Chick-fil-A. They had the Chick-fil-A with the jalapeno. The jalapeno.
Listen, there's been a lot of smiling and laughing, and you're right. These are exactly the sort of folks you want coming to the United States of America, who I guess they're discovering American exceptionalism, and maybe they'll share it with some of our homegrown leftists before they go.
You see, I have a theory about this. I think that their only view of us has, if it's been through PMS Now or the New York Slimes or the Washington Compost, they thought they were coming to some sort of a third world dystopian hellhole. And then all of a sudden they show up and we've got like Freddy's custard and, you know, Whataburgers. And we're like, what the heck?
And you know what else they've discovered, Todd? And you can see this in their videos. You're right. They have this perception, particularly of those of us here in the South, man. Boy, they thought we were all walking around. You wouldn't be able to pick your knuckles up off the ground, these terrible barbarians and the rest of it. They're finding that we are friendly and hospitable. And guess what? Some of us actually are relatively intelligent. And they seem to be very, very happy to be visiting. And we're happy to have them.
We absolutely are. All right, Jeff Katz, always good to hear from you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Great American patriot there, Jeffrey Katz, host of WRVA. By the way, one of the top talk radio show hosts in America. So good guy. By the way, speaking of that, you know, Freddie, the German Dylan, J.J. Watt has been following their adventures. And it's, I guess these are three young guys. And he's putting them up in a fancy hotel, $150,000 a night hotel.
Wow. Do we know where he is right now?
Don't know.
As he gains following, he needs to stop telling people because they're probably going to ambush him.
Oh, like, no doubt about it. People are like lavishing the guys with gifts and the whole nine yards. I mean, he's already got over 600,000 followers on X.
That's so funny. He's just become this internet sensation.
Here's how bad it is. Now there are fake Freddie accounts.
Oh, I'm sure.
So they're in Texas. So they're in Houston.
Okay.
So all of our Houston folks, you know what we need to do here is just open up the phone lines for our Houston crowd and give them suggestions on where Freddie, because he is listening to talk radio. We need to give Freddie suggestions on what they need to do in Houston, Texas. So if you have any thoughts, ideas, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. They are going to the Ella Langley concert in Oklahoma City on the 18th. So, there you go.
That's really funny. Ella Langley is a different conversation. That's a whole generational, like,
I guess they're big fans.
Yeah.
I've never heard
of it. A lot of men are. I'll just put it that way.
Okay. Gotcha. I'll take your word for it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. weird Monday. Just a lot of news going on today. I'm trying to see if we have time to. I'm not sure we have time to get this story in there. There's trouble in paradise. Well, actually, it's Obama's Death Star. Cut number three, please.
Subcontractors are claiming they haven't been paid yet for the work on the project.
So many of our black contractors are complaining about they have not got their money. But the other side of it, a lot of the black community and the newspapers do not know that these people have not been paid. Contractors are already in bankruptcy. That's what they're saying, that if it wasn't the fact that they worked on this Obama project, they would not be under this type of problem.
You can file that with You Can Keep Your Doctor. The Obama Presidential Center officially opens to the public in Chicago this Friday.
Wow. So, yeah, this is pretty crazy. The Obama Presidential Center, that big dystopian Death Star in Chicago, had promoted the idea that most of the work was being done by black contractors. Now these black contractors are saying they want their money. They're like, where is our money? They want their cash, and I don't blame them one bit. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy Monday to you, wherever you might be across the nation. Well, this story just caught my attention earlier today, and I thought there's no possible way this could be true. But it turns out there are big problems again in Fairfax County, Virginia, where the public school system is considering eliminating certain holidays, and one of the possibilities is eliminating Christmas. Well, here to tell us all about what's happening, Stephanie Lundquist Arora. She is a mom. She is also the Fairfax chapter leader of the Independent Women's Network. Stephanie, good to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. I really appreciate it. This is quite a crazy story.
This is just insane. So tell us what's going on here.
Well, in Fairfax County, Virginia, fewer than 50% of the school weeks are full 5-day weeks. And over time, there are fewer and fewer weeks that actually the children just go to school 5 days a week. So they've introduced all of these teacher work days, teacher planning days, all of the kind of cultural observance days you can think of as days off from school, including, I think this year, children had 12 half days, which also were designated as teacher planning days. So the parents were complaining. The parents were like, this is ridiculous that we don't know when our children actually have to be in school. You need to have a regular calendar. So in response, what they always do, the district leaders send home a survey, and the surveys are always intended just to validate their pre-selected decisions, right? They don't actually listen to what we say on surveys. But these same leaders, the Fairfax County school leaders, have an anti-Christian bias. So we're calling this the Grinch Who Stole Christmas survey. They're trying to figure out how they can have more 5-day school weeks. And instead of saying, maybe we shouldn't have so many, teacher union sanctioned teacher planning days, they're saying, let's take Christmas off the calendar as a school holiday and perhaps even shrink the winter break.
This makes absolutely no sense to me at all, but I am not surprised because, Stephanie, they tried to do something in the county or the city where I live in. It's a lovely affluent community outside of Memphis, and you would think everybody there, and it's a pretty conservative community, and the school board tried to do away with Good Friday. So I'm not terribly surprised to hear that this is happening. But again, the sheer audacity to think, you know what, we're going to go ahead and get rid of Christmas, or at least put that as an option on the table. That to me is really surprising.
And in any normal district across the country, you would find something like this surprising, but it's not the first time that they've waved the proverbial middle finger to Christians in our county. You see, in 2022, the school board voted to change the timing of spring break for the children with the express purpose of decoupling it from Easter. So they did it intentionally, even though there was no other reason. They just wanted to have spring break separate from Easter to kind of wave the middle finger at Christians. And then 2 years after that, in 2024, our Board of Supervisors, which is like the governing council for the county, they voted to commemorate Transgender Visibility Day on Easter. So you can see there are multiple holidays that they're including to get rid of. Right now, every single religious holiday and cultural observance holiday you can think of is basically on the school calendar and the kids have it off. But this is specifically targeted at Christians because you see, there's no way that the Board of Supervisors would ever have commemorated Transgender Visibility Day on Eid. Right. This is specifically targeted to Christians.
Do you know why? You mentioned that there seemed to be an anti-Christian sentiment there in the county. Do you know why that is? Are they favoring one religion over the other, or are they just entirely, you know, atheist or secularist?
Well, there's definitely an alliance between the left and the Muslims, which is a little bit unclear to me how that's the case. And I know Asra Nomani has written a great book called The Woke Army, where she discusses this alliance. So they actually implemented prayer rooms during Ramadan in 2022. So it's not simply just anti-religion. There are certain people that they're against. And let me also tell you, Todd, they are mandating preferred pronouns with the penalty of suspension if students don't abide by that. Specifically, if you're a Christian student and you have a religious objection to this and you refuse to play the pronoun games with a transgender classmate, they can suspend you.
I'm just staggered by this. Stephanie Lundquist Arora joining us from Fairfax County, Virginia. And Stephanie, you have kids. They're in the school district. I mean, what do you tell your kids when they see their faith, their holidays under attack?
You know, this is really an exercise in civic engagement for conscientious children. And I think that children who have conservative family values, when they have conversations like this with their parents about what's happening in the schools, it reaffirms their commitment to do what is right and fight kind of the indoctrination. And I know that my children and many of their classmates actually tell their parents and me what exactly is happening in the school so that we can do something about it. And let me just tell you one more thing about how much the school district doesn't care about what we say in terms of feedback. So it's really a circus that they give us these surveys to find out what we want. A couple of years ago, the district was conducting a survey in order to make sex education happen in shared sex spaces. So the classrooms where they're teaching children very sensitive things wouldn't be separated, boys in one classroom, girls in the other. They would all be combined with the expressed intent to make transgender children feel more comfortable. And so they sent out a survey to parents, what do you think about these shared sex spaces for sex ed? And 84% of respondents said, no way, we object to this. This is crazy. My children would feel uncomfortable. This is insane. And so in a work session meeting afterwards, the superintendent, Michelle Reed, responded, well, the majority doesn't always dictate, right? And then she implemented a pilot program doing exactly that, combining boys and girls in the same classroom. So obviously they're not concerned about what parents are saying in these surveys. They're only hoping that they can get enough data to justify whatever they've already decided to do.
Stephanie, real quick here. So where do things stand now? Is there still a chance to save Christmas there in Fairfax County?
I think there's going to be enough community pushback. Like when they tried to decouple Easter from spring break, it only lasted for a year because there was a huge uproar. People, families were leaving for vacation specifically to celebrate Easter with their families. And I think that there's going to be enough of an uproar that they're not going to be the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, Stephanie, do us a favor. Keep us updated. on all the craziness and chaos. We may just have to make you our bureau chief for the radio show there in Fairfax County, Virginia. Stephanie.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. Thank you again, and a great job for standing up and doing the right thing and speaking up. Stephanie Lundquist Aurora, she is a mom. She is a chapter leader of the Independent Women's Network there in Fairfax County, Virginia. Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? It's really unbelievable. But Fairfax County Schools considering eliminating Christmas now as a holiday. And you heard what Stephanie said. A lot of this is a collusion between the secular anti-Christian crowd and the Islamic crowd. And they're coming after all of us. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Robert De Niro. He hates America. This guy, you know, he has to wear platform shoes. Did you know that? That's really embarrassing. You know, if you're a short fella, own it, right? That's what Danny DeVito does. He's like a little person there. Oh, see what? I got it right there, Dylan.
It's true. He's very short, yeah.
But he's a little fella.
He is, yeah.
Little Danny DeVito. And so anyway, little Robert De Niro, who literally wears they're like huge. I don't even know how he keeps his balance. It's almost like he's on stilts.
Probably years of training and wearing them.
Here's how bad it is. You can't unsee that. So now when I watch all these De Niro movies, which I used to be a big fan of, you know, back before we learned his politics, now I'm like, oh, he's a little fella. Or if he's taller than somebody else, you're like, oh my gosh, that guy must be an Oompa Loompa.
What happens if he wears shorts? Like, do the high heels still come on if he's wearing shorts?
Oh, they got to. That's an ugly.
Do they though? You got to hide them.
It's a bad visual.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's De Niro, cut number 8.
Be right. Later, the letter stated, regardless of our political affiliation or whether we engage in politics or not, we all love our country. So when we... Not so fast. The phrase, we all love our country, stuck in my throat. Because our country isn't so lovable right now. I hate to say it, but loving our country is starting to sound like an abused spouse saying they love their abuser. I can't love a country that starts stupid and inhumane wars. Killing thousands of innocents and indirectly causing the deaths and suffering of millions more. I can't love a country that takes health care away from millions of people and uses that money to enrich their pals in the Trump Epstein class. I can't love a country that sends out masked militias to shoot citizens in the streets, torture our neighbors, and separate families. I can't love a country that's led by a racist, misogynist, xenophobic tyrant. And let me just say it. I can't love the country that's led by Donald Trump.
Well, that's very sad. I mean, we all loved America when we were under the rule of Barack Hussein Obama, right? And Joe Biden. I mean, we still loved our country. But these kinds of people, Robert De Niro, really sleazy people, this guy. I want you to listen to this fella. This is a guy who's having to explain why he's a man's man. I'm a man. But he's very upset over this UFC event last night. And he sat in his car and he had a mental breakdown. Dylan, you saw the video, right? I mean,
it was pretty rough to see from a guy, honestly. Yeah.
You don't want to see another guy. No, you don't want to see another guy cry like that. Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, you're a man. Guys don't cry. Cut number 9, please.
I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care if you're right or left. I don't care about any of that. If you think anything about this is cool or American or manly, I have to assume that much like anybody associated with the planning and the production of this event, all of the sponsors of this event, matter of fact, anybody that's even remotely associated with this event, much like all of them, you are so slow I could time you with a calendar. Nothing about this is cool. Well, you just don't like it because you're a liberal, and liberal men aren't masculine. Listen here.
It's true.
I lift every day. I've done boxing and jiu-jitsu on and off for years, and I used to watch the UFC pretty religiously until I realized that 90% of the fighters and a good chunk of the fans are racist, rapist, woman beaters, or right-wing. So then I stopped.
He's a little wound up, isn't he?
I think he got faster every second that went by.
He does. I mean, when you look at the guy's body, I don't think he lifts every day. Unless it's like the women's, like those 15-pound barbells.
He's got the 3-pounders, yeah.
He's with the ladies. He lifts with the ladies. But that guy, look, I'm telling you, the reason why people got so upset about yesterday is because it really did show you who America really is. And honestly, if you're America's enemies, you're freaking out right now because you saw men who are not afraid to take punches, men who are not afraid to say what needs to be said, in some cases probably things that should have been better left unsaid. You know
and
what I'm
lastly,
talking about.
Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
By the way, Dana White coming out, and he's having to denounce it. He said he hates that kind of nonsense. You know, Dana White's a big free speech guy, right? And he's been a pretty big proponent of that. But come on, you don't pull some kind of crap like that at the White House. You know how that's all going to go down. I mean, really. But yeah, there you go. Also, the gals on The View, we haven't played this audio. The gals on The View have an interesting take on what was said. Take a listen.
I do want to address the derogatory slur made about the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, because I think it's important to address. And we won't dignify what was said by repeating it, but you should look it up.
And she said she's a man.
I think the reason that it's important is because for a long time, and the roots are in slavery, black women have been slurred and made to feel that they were unattractive, made to feel that they were masculine, made to feel that they were they didn't have the femininity that a white woman would have. And so there's this intersectionality between racism and sexism that was on full display at the White House. The crowd laughed at the statement, and the President of the United States smirked and never addressed what was said. That is beneath the dignity of the office of the President of the United States, and it's beneath the dignity of the American people.
I think they're making a little bit too much out of all of this, right? I mean, it was a fighter. He's going to say whatever he said. By the way, he said a lot of other things too. And then he thanked Jesus, which is nice. But, you know, if you're going to thank Jesus, you probably don't want to drop the F-bomb before you do that. Right? I'm just saying. It's not a good look. By the way, I will say this. A lot of the other, and this was just one guy who said something stupid. Many of the other guys actually went out of their way to, like, thank God. And they quoted scripture, and they were really thankful for the opportunity to be there. But Dylan, I got to go back to the U.S. Marine Corps band. They just crushed it last night. Every single piece of intro music, the walkout music, all of it performed live, and there were all sorts of musical styles.
I'm glad they got to showcase that, because we really don't hear a lot of the military bands, but they really put in a lot of hard work. And as a musical guy, like, that's just nice to hear.
And a lot of people don't realize, you know, there are so many different musical groups.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they've got one, was it the Navy, I think, has a banjo group, or like a bluegrass band.
Yeah, seriously. And, they came to where I went to college, and the jazz band, so good.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, you would not know this if you didn't hear about it.
Well, just incredibly talented people. Look, the country was on display last night for the world, and I think we hit a home run last night. That's what I think happened. And by the way, Trump, the next thing is a rodeo. They're doing a big rodeo. So we could have like wrangling steers and cows on the front lawn of the White House. That's like Teddy Roosevelt level stuff. I'm just saying. All right, it's been a lot of fun, folks. Tomorrow, noon o'clock, right here. If you want to go back and listen to any of our interviews, you can do that. Download our free podcast at toddstearns.com. By the way, sign up for our free newsletter and get out also and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, in stores August 11th. You can pre-order it right now. All right, get out there. Be good, everybody. Happy birthday, America.